Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we proceed with this 22nd annual meeting of CBIG with the capital market. This meeting has as a purpose to disseminate the main events of the organization and to tell the market, the capital market, about them, where the analysts and other stakeholders can have access to the top administration and management of this company. In that way, CBIG, in conformity with the rules of Bovespa, of the stock exchange, and companies listed in the New York Stock Exchange, reaffirms its commitment to transparency and a correct use of information. We need another kindness from you. We kindly ask you to fill out the evaluation form so that we can improve always our relationship with you. So please, this is very important. The forms must be turned in to the receptionist after the last presentation of the day. Thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to see an institutional video. Six to five years from now on, people, things, the future that's coming up, time to understand that happiness is very often tied to little things and things that together we see. And we improve better to understand that everywhere, when we believe in work, always can do more, because at the 65 years of age, CBIG has renewable energy ready to continue working towards the development of Minas Gerais and all the Minas Gerais residents. CBIG is 65 years old. Our power, your strength. Thank you very much. And we informed that Bernardo Afonso Salomão de Alvarenga is, at the request of the governor, participating in the regional forum in Montes Claros. He will join us in a while, and he will be given the central seat. We invite to come up to the stage the Director of Human Resources, Mauro Galupo Botelho Martins. We invite the Director of Finance and Investor Relations, Adésio de Almeida Lima. Also, the Director of Distribution and Sales, also Director of Institutional Relations and Communications, Luis Fernando Parodi Santos. Also, Director of Generation and Transmission, Franklin Moreira Gonçalves, please. Also, Commercial Director Dimas Costa, please. The Director of Business Development, Cesar Vazimed Fernandes. Also, the Director of Corporate Management, José de Araújo Lis Neto. And Representing Raul Rico Guleti, our legal director. Beatriz Pihi, please. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to chair this roundtable with the directors, we invite Mr. Antonio Carlos Velhas Braga, Superintendent of Investor Relations of CEMIG. Thank you. Thank you all for your presence here. Beginning once again, this event, already in its 22nd edition, in this event, which is for you, our guests, so that you get to know CEMIG better and where we are heading CEMIG in this year and in the upcoming years. And please use your time to actually ask about your doubts. So we like to joke every day. We and IR like to talk to you every single day, but there is a day in which we give you the opportunity to give you a full day with the board of directors here so that you can hear their explanation and you can solve your doubts about us. This round table here has as the purpose to inform all of you about our priorities and of each one of the directorships, and as I said, to solve your doubts and to explain things to you. So I'll ask the directors to tell you about their own departments, and then we're going to move on to a Q&A session. I'm going to talk now to someone who has been participating in this event for a long time. I believe that most of you already know her, our dear Maura. She has talked about several topics now. We talked about tariffs, but now we're going to talk about HR. So I would like you to comment on your priorities as a director of HR and what takes up most of your time and what is the vision that you have for your function. Good afternoon, everyone. We are undergoing a process at CEMIG at present of a volunteer resignation program, and we have this project to have a goal of 750 additions to this program, which is going to give us a savings of 180 million. This project this year is costing us 127 million, and the payback is an 8-year long payback, and this is one of the projects which we are carrying out so as to reduce our payroll. What's also in the projects of the HR department is to start now, still this year, our external contest, which is going to give us ventilation, as it were, and to give us replacement of our labor, our skilled labor, so that the new people will be to help us reduce our payroll because they don't have some of the perks that actually will increase our payrolls. There are two payments that have been taken out of the new entries, the new entrance pays. One of the pillars of the management in the house is the revision of our PCR, that is our program of our chart of jobs and careers, and that is we are reviewing that, and we're evaluating the amount, the number, and the quality of our labor, of our workforce, so that we can redistribute and do a very deep analysis of our workforce and to reallocate it to the areas where we are lacking, and reallocate that in a more efficient manner within the company. Another mechanism that we are utilizing to help the top management improve the quality and efficiency of their teams is the performance evaluation. This tool is going to give managers the possibility to increase the efficiency of their teams. And we believe that with the renewal of our workforce with at a mean cost that is lower than what we have at present, we can reduce our payroll, and then we can have a positive result in the EBITDA of the company. Thank you very much. Thank you, Maura. We talked about this resignation program with the intention of reducing expenses, which is very important. This, of course, will remind us of a subject that is always common to our conversation, which is operational efficiency. So I would like to ask Dr. Paroli and Dr. Franklin to actually tell us about the initiatives to increase operational efficiency in their respective departments, and what has been done and what are the main goals and purposes of those initiatives. Would you like to begin, Paroli? Is your mic working? Very good afternoon, everyone. And one of the pillars that we are following in our distributing company is operational efficiency. Actually, it is a work that for a distributing company cannot be done overnight. It needs to be followed up to follow a very deep change in processes, and it needs to be followed with an automation process that we can increase quality and greater precision in our actions and greater speed, thus maintaining the quality indicators of the distributing company, so that we are able throughout the years. Last year we had a resignation program. We had 800 people actually voluntarily being released from the company. We have more 500 people, and this gives us a great improvement in our cash flow, and the company is moving on towards the conformity with regulation from the point of view of costs, and we're working so that after the tariff revision next year, besides the conformity, we are still slightly better, so that we have a greater EBITDA margin than the one that the regulating agency predicts. And number one is to reduce operational costs with automation and process improvements. Another two aspects which are good to mention is that with these investments, we are reducing our losses. Next year is tariff revision, as I said, and we're going to have the opportunity to have our technical losses recognized by ANEEL. And today, this year, as of next year, last year, and all the beginning of this year, we've been working to reduce our commercial losses, which actually gives us an intravenous injection so that we can improve our EBITDA. Another point is the bad debts. CEMIG has had the bad debts are under control last year because of several factors. The worsening in the market, increasing of unemployment, increasement of the tariff raises. We had a raise also in our bad debts, and this year we have been able to control it and even been able to collect some of those debts, creating important cash that are going to be shown later to us. So these are the three main aspects of our distributing company, besides the maintenance of the quality of service that CEMIGA has always had throughout these 65 years. Those are the main aspects. Thank you. Thank you very much. Dr. Franklin, can you please, if you allow me, I'd like to... I said that the payback was 8 years, not 8 years, 8 months. I apologize for that. As I said, it's 8 months. I understood that as 8 months. But Dr. Franklin, can you please tell about efficiency initiatives? I know that CME generation transmission is recognized for its operational efficiency, very close to the benchmark, and always improving itself, but we always have room for more improvement. Can you tell us about efficiency initiatives and other challenges that you see ahead of you at CEMIG-GT? Good afternoon, everyone. As Veles has said, and as reaffirmed by the strategic planning that we already finished, where we compare our costs vis-a-vis other companies that are our benchmark, and also comparing, in the case of transmission, relative to the regulating agencies, we have been, we have been trying to reduce the costs, which had to do with automation, and this automation today, it has not lost its reliability because our operation centers can operate all of our facilities remotely from the headquarters. Now we're moving to the new building, but also because of corporate actions, as already pointed out, and the resignation program, the voluntary program. And this says that our department is below the PMSO, quite lower than the regulator PMSO, which means that our RAP has a great, because you have a reduction of our PM, your real PMSO. As for generation, I think that we are today the same as or slightly below the company that is the reference for us in terms of benchmark in the segment of generation. And this was also due also to the process of automation and a new activity that was included for the operators that were just watching watching over our facilities, and they started performing because the COS started operating those facilities. They started playing other, activities, playing other roles. And they work as maintenance operators for our facilities. And when there is some need, because of some communication problem or some failure that might arise, might be brought up, or spring up, they are there on standby so they can actually operate on our facilities, thus reducing or avoiding the availability of our generating units and lesser impact on MRA, and also thus guaranteeing that we have the necessary reliability and the best possible use of our power resources. This has to do with inside CEMIG. As for our group, we have had efficiency gains when we capture synergies, because both for transmission and also for generation of the companies belonging to our group, we do this operation and this maintenance, and that what includes efficiency gains and also improves the results of our participant companies. And another kind of efficiency which is important is the expansion. The recent auction, reduce our time, the recent auction that Taesa won several batches, It had to do with the previous studies that our expansion area, both in generation and also the expansion in transmission, and our area of planning, electric planning, which had anticipated the information of lines and the grids and equipment that go to auction. We can actually gauge what the resources are so that the Taesa can be competitive and have a good performance and EBITDA in the transmission auction. Thank you very much. Excellent. We say that Dr. Franklin talked about COS and COD in our distributor company, and we're going to use those structures and that infrastructure in order to increase our efficiency. But somebody has to put all this together, Dr. Linz. This infrastructure, all of this acquisition process and the services and equipment, very often people only remember things when it doesn't work. So can you tell us about the initiatives and when it comes to infrastructure, purchases, logistics? Good afternoon, everyone. As you actually reminded us, we have this very basic function within the company, which is that of providing the best possible infrastructure without being protagonists, but trying to search for efficiency and following the directives of our strategic plan within the processes that are inherent to us, which is infrastructure, IT and TC, communication technologies and shared services. We have been trying to find the best market practices. We have been adjusting all the supply side. We're creating a planning area and centralizing service planning. Prior to this, planning was centralized only when it came to materials, but now we're centralizing services, introducing market intelligence and acquisition strategies. This has been going on since last semester. We've been already harvesting some good results from that. We have detected, for example, 119 contracts throughout the state of Minas Gerais, and we are reducing that only to 7 within the 7 regional companies of our distributor. That is an expected gain of 4 to 5 million years per year. And now we're implementing the last part of a policy of a fleet management. And last year we did some work to reduce the fleet by about 15%. And we have been able to save about 30 million per year with this reduction and the change of specification, change of specs, which we took. Actually, we reduced the cost that we had of some additional requirements. We actually fit the best the market, and we're now introducing the Center for Shared Service in order for us to have also best practices within the processing of a payroll, within IT users, HR, and so on. And we're trying to centralize those activities and try to join what was separate in generation transmission from the rest of the company. We're trying to find the best possible model for each one of those processes. We're going to create the platforms with the help of IT, and so we can search for efficiency. Is that it's actually to change process management and to adjust the workforce. We had in the company, we identified the work of being about 1,000 people working with transactional processes, and our objective is around 300 to 350 people. So logically within those resignation programs, we're going to replace some other functions. I can also not fail to mention IT and structuring systems, CMIG, through our IT, tries to find automation, which has already been mentioned, in the operation of all systems. And we have 4 large systems that we are developing, that is, we're improving upon, which is a single Civil Service, Atlantis, which is also a project, electric projects, Letter, Oiscada, which is one for automation of GT, ED, and GDIS, which is the Controlate Dispatch of Services in the Field. So those are functions that we have actually acted upon, and I hope that within the next year we have more concrete results to tell you about the improvements in the operational efficiency of those internal processes. Thank you. Excellent. Thank you very much, Dr. Lins. One area of ours that is also a reference in the country is our commercial area. Dumas, our area, is recognized, and I've heard about that from several people, from the market analysts and investors alike, that is, and saying that it's impressive how CEMIG is actually in the right direction all the time. So I'd like for you, Dumas, to talk about your priorities, especially this year, which has this hydrological challenge, a change of methodology. How CEMIG is actually, what's CEMIG's position, and what is the view that you have for the long term? Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Now, the big challenge for CEMIG in this case of our commercial department is the maintenance of the market, of the market share that it enjoys today in the free contracts area. We are leaders both in conventional power and incentivized. We're about 25% of the market in this area, incentives, that is. And the great challenge is to keep this market. And with what kind of power? With the 579, CEMIG was deprived of many of its plants, those plants that we're still actually arguing about in the administrative and juridical spheres of this country so as to recover them. But the great challenge is this. How are we going to maintain this market share? One-third of its CEMIG's power is its own energy. We have about 3,100 mega that has been sold, and 1 point is two-thirds are from third parties. During lunchtime, I was talking to one of the consultants, and they says, well, we have to sell well. And I said, well, to sell well today, the market has matured and taken some synergies that we have of the generator and distributor, we can add a plus to the prices. But two-thirds of our power comes from third parties. We know how to buy well, and we have been buying well. CEMIG and its commercial activities has had a good margin, well above the market margin. And this is the great challenge. That is, we are actually getting more adequate to the market, and we adapting to the changes that are going to take place in the market. We have been taking actions. What Velis has mentioned about the hydrological risk, which had to do with climatology, but today it has GSF is a factor of high risk. We have been managing this risk very well, both because of our seasoning of our own energy and third-party energies, power, and also because of purchases in order to maintain and reduce the risk of the activity of selling and buying power. And the great challenge, as I said, is to keep our market share, because once conquering that, it's, if you lose it, it's very difficult to recover it. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Perfect. Veris, just a minute, please. I would only like to add some information, not to be unfair to the group that works with me. When it comes to optimization of real estate assets that we have mapped out several properties in the state that are actually absolutely necessary to business. And in the next 2 years, we're going to be selling about 160 million reals worth of real estate that are not actually absolutely necessary. 40 now, 70 next year, and the remainder in 2019. I wouldn't let you forget that, but it's an important message because we're thinking only about selling assets and companies that the CME Group holds, but it's important to see it's a very relevant amount of money that can come to the company. It's a good thing to have remembered. Now, Dr. Cesar, please tell us about our priorities, remembering that after coffee break, we're going to have a presentation exclusively about divestment programs. But if you can tell us a little bit about this, well, good afternoon then. In our area, the business development area, priority will always be and has been the following up of the results and management of our joint companies, the companies in which we have partnerships. There are many companies in the last 2 years, with all the Brazilian crisis, our participation and action has been very intensive. But in the end, beginning 2017, we understand that the main action that we should implement in those companies, restructuring debts, change in partnership patterns, and change in management, all this is practically consolidated. Some of the examples that I can give is the Belo Monte. We already well underway to automate all the civil construction that's finished. We now, by agreement between the partners that make up the partnership with us, to make an important change to the management of the company, Paulo Roberto Pinto and Fernando Rola. Luis Fernando Rola, our prior director of institutional relations, have taken over the financial directorship, and other changes are going to take place. But with those changes, we understand that Belo Monte is going to be more agile and have more nimbleness to solve the problems that are quite usual in such an enterprise that Belo Monte is, more than 11,000 mega of installed power. So we are advancing in the attempt to renegotiate uncontracted power and other actions of this kind. In Santo Antonio, also with all the engines are completed, we changed also the management. We have a process of hiring headhunters, but we're also facing the problems very well in Santo Antonio, and all the financial structuring has been finished. Other examples I could also cite for ours, talking about our partnership problems, but showing how CEMIG has come out pretty well of these enterprises. We can also mention Renova. We have many problems at Renova since our project failed, the one of Sanetson, and I'm going to show the details later on, but all the solutions that we had already designed are actually working out well. So in the next few weeks are going to show us the results. And also Alliance is another case of success. A partnership with Vale is consolidated in Alliance with expressive results.
And we go on as well with other solutions. We have solutions of these problems well. And I send the Alliance and also by means of an IPO acquisition, so of private placement, which are things that we're working on. GasMig as well is another area with a very significant result. So we expect these favorable results to happen this year. Since acquisitions that we did there with Petrobras, we renewed our contract for supplying gas with Petrobras, so we will have much improved conditions for the company. So we have this well-organized, you know, cash flow and our expected results for the end of the year. We expect this to be very favorable. We will show the plans as we go along. And another example, which is very positive, is growth and consolidation of results of Taesa, which again is operating successfully in the bids, as we've already heard here. So our day-to-day work in this area in CEMIG is one of taking part of these boards, of these committees, and always in a role in which we are protagonists in searching solutions and in managing these companies. All of them, or most of them, we have some form of participation, of minority participation. Well, about the main company, what will really bring results is our plan for divestment, which we have started since last year, preparing the company for the results that now will begin to emerge. And again, we will describe the details after the coffee break, if I get it right. Yes, now I would like to ask Mr. Adesi to speak a little about his priorities in the financial area. After that, we also have a specific presentation on this plan of restructuring our debt. Well, maybe of everyone here in the executive level, surely I am not in the, I don't originally come from the electrical industry. All of you work or have worked at CEMIG or worked in the electricity industry. So for me, it's a lot of learning to understand all of these names, GSC and so on. So when you mention these names, certainly you all know what they mean, and I have to sometimes remember, make an effort to find exactly what a specific acronym is. But what motivates me most and what is really more gratifying in working in this company for me is our proposition, and we are together in this at the director level. We're all involved in searching for solutions for the company. You heard that the HR director, she speaks of EBITDA and return rates. She comes from the financial area originally, so she would certainly work very well as a financial director of the company. As this has been in the discussions in which I have myself have been involved in the financial debates. So, as I understand, the cohesion of the directors all together searching for a solution for the companies. These are things that happen in every company, and this is something very relevant and very motivating as we create solutions. It's very inspiring so that we can reach our goals. Well, specifically about the financial area, we're going through a moment at which I will describe in my presentation later on, the solution of how leveraged the company is not only something that needs to be dealt with at the financial department. When Lynx speaks about selling a lot of areas we have in the state of Minas Gerais, and we expect to raise 170 million reais with selling these areas, these installations, this is a good volume of resources, but also reduction of expenses. All of these installations, they have a cost, and we are not using them, and they cost us. So the more we get rid of them, we not only bring in the money as a result of selling them, but also we improve management and reduce the cost of maintenance of these facilities. So all areas in this level are searching for efficiency, are working to increase the efficiency and to reset the capital of the company to reduce how leveraged we are. Our suppliers of credit, they're important. They are partners of ours, but they also want to know whether we are firmly involved in effectively managing this area. And this is the priority that we have right now. It's not only my own personal priority, it's the priority of the board, of the directors, of the superintendent, and I am maybe only the vehicle, the executor of these goals in talking and organizing this with the capital markets and the financial market. We have an opportunity. We will have an opportunity to show you what is our strategy, and I'll show you this shortly in the presentation. But this is my initial comments. And what is our goal when we look at our payment of debt? In 2017 and 18, we have about 9 billion reais in debt to pay. Our revenue is about 16 to 17 billion. We have, you know, that distribution has a very narrow margin, so it's very important then for us to seek operating efficiency. Mr. Pararoli here, he just spoke very generally about a project which I think is fantastic for the next couple of years. The 500 largest customers in the retail markets, they will, 500,000, the 500,000 largest clients or customers that we have in metropolitan Belo Horizonte, the management of this will be made remotely. We will manage these buildings remotely. We will charge and control energy from a distance without having to have someone going there. This is an interesting development. Originally, you have someone measuring your consumption every day or every month, and they would send you the bill to your house. After that, this went on with the smart, where the person measures and prints it and leaves it there right there. Now, this, you don't need this anymore. The 500,000 largest customers in metropolitan Belo Horizonte will have this done directly through the web. It will be done remotely. Not through the web, sorry, I mean remotely. It will be done remotely. We will be able to manage, measure consumption, billing, and everything at a distance without having to have a physical person go to these households. So there are several projects where the main goal is to reduce costs, to reorganize our capital structure. I think this is one of the most important things, and which I have witnessed here at this company, which is that everyone is involved in this, in reducing costs. One of a colleague of ours said, you know, so many new people, and yeah, they're new people, but there are people who are very knowledgeable about the market in which we are operating, and they are the people that truly have the means to assess our company. So this priority of ours is something that is present throughout in all the various areas of the company. All of us are focused on this. Semigi, up to a few years ago, it really provided resources to the market. I worked on the other side for many years as in the commercial area of banks, bringing in resources from CEMIG. The banks really fought a lot, in a sense, to gain resources from CEMIG, and also in credit and risk in banks. I analyzed CEMIG several times. You know, this has always been a AAA group, and that's our goal, so that in a year or two we will get CEMIG back to the condition of a low-risk company for investors, for credit and debt. So that's our major priority, and we're all involved in this, which is to have CEMIG return to this condition, a capital structure that's conservative, stop paying interest rates, and to transform the interest payments into new investments. Very good. Great. So I think that if you have questions at this point, we can start with the Q&A session. I know that there are questions that come from what people have said or questions that you already have. So maybe we can start. Just please raise your hand and one of the people here will take a microphone over there to you. You're all a bit shy. I know you all. You're a bit shy. Come on. Well, while you think, let me start with a few general questions that I have here that I think are worth asking. One is for you, Mauro. We know that our business is an essential public service, electrical energy, electric power. It has its own risks for those who provide this service, and one of our goals is always working for the safety of our employees. Could you comment a little about this, how we are looking at this, and how we are managing this safety, and how we deal with accidents? This is a reason for us to celebrate 2016. We had, in 2016, the lowest rate of accidents since the creation of this measure 21 years ago. So CEMIGI did great work in the past of developing this. What we had in the past were teams that dealt with safety and health at work in separate. So there were teams working in generation, ones, others in transmission, and others in distribution. Our strategy was to bring them all together so that we could talk, and including also representatives of our labor force and our contracted labor force. With that, we improved our performance. We were able to optimize our resources and also attain better results by reducing the number of accidents, which was the lowest so far, as I have mentioned. So CEMIG also has developed a few R&D projects in safety and health at work, and we have some cases of success that we can mention today. In 2009, CEMIG developed a method, a form, an approach of using a t-shirt under the fireproof uniform that would add more comfort to the worker and more safety in case there was an accident. If the uniform caught fire, this vest would protect the person, this shirt, this vest. And this work result of R&D has been copied by other companies, other utilities. In 2010, we developed also another form of vest to work in small chambers. Or rather, this is a sort of a translucent fabric. We can see how the operator is working, and it reduces the risk of an accident. This is a fabric that protects people. This development of this knowledge again was done internally in R&D work coordinated by CEMIG, and again it has been copied by other utilities as well. They're using this same technology that the CEMIG technicians developed. Another very interesting thing as well that was implemented this year was what we call SIGET, which is a system used on a smartphone. And with that, I can monitor my own labor and outsourced workers to see if they have the adequate training, qualifications, if everything is updated for them to do what they're doing, and if they're using the individual protection equipment, if they were given the right equipment, and if they're using it. So this system, by means of an app, can coordinate our labor force. In the field, I can look at the name of the employee. We have a picture I can in real time see if that employee is qualified for doing whatever he is doing at that moment. And with that, we then have full control of what our workers are doing. This includes outsourced workers. We have two international seminars in which we will present ways by which you can calculate when you have an electrical arch, when you have one of these. There was a study made for us to develop a method by which when an electrical arc happens, the person would be free from risk. And this study will be presented in the International Seminar on Health and Safety at Work in Singapore and also in Prague. So this then goes to show how our technical personnel are well qualified. They're doing great research and they're really concerned with finding solutions, with developing technology that can be used not only by other utilities here in the country, but also that may be applied in other utilities abroad. Thank you very much, Maura. Right. Are you now a bit bolder? Do you have any questions from the audience? Or maybe our guests? Well, if we have no questions, let's go on. I have another comment, and I think it's a question as well, that usually happens often in our questions, in our talks rather. You comment about seasonality. We use our own energy of third parties. Can you go into a little more detail about this, to how we deal with the seasonal consumption, the variations in consumption? Well, in this case, when we talk about different periods and different consumptions, our customers inform us about their use of power in time, and then we rationalize the use of power that we buy from third parties according to the contract, and we also do this with our own energy, what we call seasonalizing. It's a different word, certainly. We know there'd be changes in some of the prices, and in May there was a change there, so we already expected an increase in the price of energy in May, and the GSF, because of this poor hydrological period we're going through with lower rainfall, and this has happened in a number of years, we have been organizing to protect ourselves against this. So we have directed this to avoid further risks of the GSF and to maximize possible gains as well, looking at these variations in power. I had asked, at least in this area, to put a slide on this if it were possible to do so. Yeah, that's the final result. Do you have anything before that about the variations in time? Yeah, just to explain a little bit, because it will facilitate things. It'll make it a little easier if we can do that. The chart shows it a little bit. Any one of them can show this. But anyway, this is really is a strategy whereby we can apply the resources that we have, which is our own resources and that of third parties, which is our own generation of power and what we have from third parties, and our own power generation, which is our own resources. So of course we need to protect ourselves as much as possible. To explain, that's the one I wanted, of seasonality. It's seasonality of the use of power. So this shows very clearly what's our strategy for dealing with seasonality. That initial curve there that was the expected curve, and it's actually happened. The dotted line, every market, you have this initial climb where you have to allocate more power in May because of increases in prices. And that's what we did. In yellow, we have energy that we purchased from third parties, again, put in within the limits that we were allowed to operate in. And it's always they're allocating power somewhere where in the middle of the year where our own generation is a little lower, and our own, we maximize it in April, May. Then there's a decline, as you can see, about June, July, and August. We allocate the minimum amount because that's when the GSF is low, which is with our own generation of power. So we make it available there. Then we go up again towards the end of the year. So the final result of this organization of power as a result of seasons, if we can have the previous slide, just so that I may add to it, that is the final result, a comparison of profiles, the full profile of CEMIG. So when we look at power in seasons, including our own power generation and third-party generation, and you can see there's a little of the markets, but this is not absolutely typical. The market tried to maximize the gains. This is the allocation that seems to be more adequate depending on the prices of these various levels of power. This seems to have become a better option for us to organize this in terms of seasons. Yes, Father, it's quite interesting what you said, yeah. So with this slide, yeah, this one, this is our strategy. What do these circles mean? They represent, and you see numbers in there, in them, they represent energy made available according to hydrological risk. So with the exception of 2014, you see less power was made available. So we weren't that concerned in allocating too much there because even without contracts, we were using energy to supply energy at that particular point. So with that, we were able to supply the debts. And these other numbers are the percentages of our own power, which is allocated to this. And this has been satisfactory, not only the amount of power, but also the gains, the eventual gains that we have. Of course, we try to mostly manage this as risk management, but we also want to avoid exposure of our own portfolio in periods where we have a lower generation of power. But even with this form of defense, there was a significant gain because of a strategy that we did. This was a consequence of us having a significant gain in liquidating the power in the short-term market. I hope I've answered your question. If anyone has any further doubts, I can clarify further again. Well, thank you then for your comments on this, but just so I can understand the impact on the results, in the first trimester, the first quarter, what we heard was that this strategy was beneficial and it generated extraordinary results that really benefited the company. From what we see in the chart, I'm not sure, from what I understand there, you sold a little more in the spot market, and because the profits and losses were positive, this was good for the company. So because of this, what about the strategy for the next quarters? Do you have excess power to sell in the spot market, or have you sold more in the first quarter and this means there's less further along? No, we do have this available, because if you look there, we don't have the excess we had in the first quarter. We do have some energy, because with the rains that we had recently, the levels of the waters increased a little bit, about 3 percentage points. And if you look at the second half of the year, it's about 5%. This is 50 megawatts for CEMIG. So when it raises a little bit, as our power available, our resource of our own energy is about 1,000 mega. If you improve 5 percentage points, you have an increase of excess power, which is there, which you left for liquidation. You suddenly have 50 mega coming up. That sort of just came up, appeared almost out of nothing. Of course, we'll sell this. Now, if you look at the... Well, we expected a reduction in the level of rains and of generation of power. We expected something less drastic. I think it was 440 in 470. And there are risks there, because if the forecasts are actually do materialize, of the rains, we might have something between 70 and 90, which is a drastic reduction. But we don't have that much power to liquidate, sell in this period, those 50 I mentioned. And for August and September, October, we have months where that's the end of the dry season. We still have a good amount of power to negotiate and to liquidate. That's the case. So this was, in the end, was a right strategy. This is what the reality is showing. Well, in the chart, the excess happened in March, April, but in May as well. Yes, May as well. So in theory, the benefit of the first quarter goes up to May. Yes, you're right. You can see that in June it drops. It starts to drop again. So the second quarter has a positive impact. And as you mentioned, you have a drop of this later on. It won't be such a good quarter in terms of selling power as was the second quarter. The second wasn't as good as the first. And now it will go on worse because of this drop in June. But April and May were very good. But this next quarter, as you can see, will not be that good in terms of these results. Well, good afternoon. I'm from the bank JP Morgan. I have a question about the four hydroelectric plants. The Ministry of Mines and Energy has already published the minimum amounts, and CEMIG is inclined to keep these assets. So what about the talks with your partners, and how do you think you will be the competition in this bid? Maybe you can answer that. Could you answer that? Because there are activities, there are a number of activities. You have the legal sphere, the administrative sphere, you have regulations and so on. But maybe Bia can answer that, because she's an advisor to our legal director that unfortunately was unable to be here. But it's being dealt much more in the legal context, because there are a number of issues that are there. And maybe Bia can answer you better than I could. Well, good afternoon, everyone. So, the state at the moment, we lost the tenders in March, Saint-Simon, Miranda, and Jaguara we lost, but CEMIG. But this is the main matter, and we are tirelessly looking to recover these plants. Our contract is different. We provide guarantees in increasing these concessions and extending these concessions. this guarantee was underestimated by the country. They didn't recognize this right, and we are in court fighting for this, and this is something that we will continue as our first option. That's our plan A, if you want. And we'll go right to the end on this, and our CEO was very emphatic on this, and the option is to fight to the end. So we will try to recover these plants because we are absolutely sure that they do belong to CEMIG by contract. So the contract needs to be respected. In parallel to this, particularly to about Volta Grande, we didn't have this right for extension. There's another legal resource, which is the Law 360, which allows us when the utilities or states, if they want to have another 30-year concession, they can request this to the government, and which can be given for another 30 years without control until June 2018. In Volta Grande, we've done this. We've done this request. And about Jaguara San Simón Miranda, we did this as a subsidiary request. So we keep our original request that the concessions should be renewed for another 20 years in the terms of the contract. But if that doesn't work, if the previous decisions are contrary to what the company asks, then we will go into the second option, the plan B, if you want, so that we can get a 30-year contract by, first of all, alienating control until July 2018. This request, both for Volta Grande and the other three plants, this has not yet been appreciated legally. There is the other side hasn't said anything about this so far, and in parallel to this, they issued a law putting these, all of them, in a tender and defining an estimate of a date for the bids. So not only working on these main fronts, there is a third option that we are also working on, which is to find a way of CEMIG taking part in these bids without loss of our other requests. So there are talks going on this. This is still being studied and talked. This is being prospected with strategic partners. But there is this option. There's an intention. And maybe we can hear more of this, where we expect to take part in these bids as a plan C and plan D, without forgetting there are the two first options in the terms of the contract of 1997. Well, about the bid that the government is organizing, as she said, it's already going through public hearings, and we will have the tender and so on, the dates and so on coming up. So CEMIG, in some way, if this actually, the bid actually happens, if the tender actually happens, we're prepared to participate, and we're also thinking along these lines. Always based on the principle that we will not, on the understanding that we will continue requesting our rights as we see them, that we think we do have. Not only us, but anyone who reads the contracts, or the previous contracts, will see that we have this right. So, this really is quite a confusing situation in a sense, because the competitors that we would have in a situation, in a hypothetical situation like this, they will have to understand that if CEMIG or CEMIG Groups actually loses this, it will continue with these other legal proceedings, because we will not give up. So this is what we're doing. Our partners, eventual partners that we have, know this is that we this going into the or making a bid is not our preferred plan, but we have to look at the reality to see what the government is doing, since it seems that they're going along with it. The other point is indemnity. We do have a right to this. On whatever possibility, we do have the possibility of an indemnity. The government would have to pay us for this. We think that this practically eliminates the eventual equity that we might have to apply if we do take part in this tender. Good afternoon, everyone. So, well, along this same topic, I'm I'm not an expert on CEMIG microphones, but anyway, we do know how much CEMIG has struggled to gain the external markets, and we did it with very good work, always saying that Brazil, we would respect contracts and the legal initiatives. Suddenly, we, in a sense, are betrayed by this and by these recent attitudes of the government. So, you were very happy, fortunate in explaining this. A couple of questions I do have on this, though. What about an international investor or international authorities? How have they reacted to this issue? Will everyone accept the loss of this size, of this quality, just simply, which is so disrespectful on the part of the government? And if you do not accommodate, well then, what will happen, your opinion? What will they do? Will they go after CEMIG or the Brazilian government?
While their discussion, I would like to actually express my solidarity and to congratulate you on your position. This is CEMIG's position. We understand that if the government keeps on this stand, Brazil is going to lose credibility. Brazil is going to lose access to foreign capital. Brazilian loses a lot. I'm talking about Director of Institutional Relations, you could interview him later after the event, because I think your position is important. Brazilians and the government need to understand that in order for us to be able to grow and continue growing in time and have international credibility, the very first thing to do is to obey contracts that are in effect. Thank you for your question, and this exactly so we defend. One of the basic premises of our constitution, of our legislation, is that the law cannot retroact, that is, in order to reach the perfect legal act. So at the time of the contract signing of concession 1967, the fourth clause said that there was a guarantee of renewal concessions that had not been renewed thus far. By the time of this provisional measure, three plants of CEMIG were under the situation. For this reason, CEMIG chose not to anticipate the renewal because of the law, and of course to make its contract good. You know, all of the clauses have been obeyed by CEMIG, and our contract has the fourth sub-clause. There is a determination that if the union is silent about CEMIG's request, the concession is going to be renewed for another 20 years. So our defense vis-a-vis those plants is that they are actually tearing apart the federal constitution when it comes to these contracts and creating a hostile environment and an unreliable environment for business, because a contract is being disrespected that was signed legally under the aegis of a law that was in effect at the time. Having said that, not only it is our interest to search in justice the recovery of the plants, but the second time around, they indemnity, and also in the terms of the contract, but also the shareholders, more than 100,000 shareholders of CEMIG that are scattered throughout the world that should actually sue and ask for this repair. And we believe it is the union is to blame and not CEMIG. CEMIG is using every weapon that it has in order to keep these plants in its portfolio. And if somebody makes creates a loss, both to CEMIG and the shareholders, it is the interest of the state is to keep those plants here. Whoever is causing this damage is actually the one that is respecting the contracts, the union. So following this logic, we're going to the end. And if we do not have this, the plants, we're going to try to find the remuneration that we are entitled to. Did I skip any of the questions? No. Okay. We have time for one or two other questions before we break for coffee. From Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, I'd like to ask a question about distribution. If we could have a little more detail about the measures that are being taken for the company to, in the next year, 2019, to reach the regulation EBITDA. If we could have more details, what are the measures that are being taken? And the second question is about the resignation program. If we have some additional details, what is the adhesion like until now, and what was it like last year, and what kind of effect can we expect? Well, we have been working hard trying to fit the company. One of the aspects that had not been taken into account, and I've mentioned some of them, in terms of losses, during the beginning of the tariff cycle, we had our losses that were actually put into perspective, and this effect is showing now at our balance sheet. Have you noticed now, you must have seen that in the media, that we have been able to renegotiate our debts and stand to gain more than 200 million reals, between 120 and 130 million reals were cash payments or a down payment on the debts that we had already accumulated. So we are reducing the number of bad debts this year, and we are recovering very good revenues. So this is bringing our bad debts to the adequate levels, the levels that are covered by the tariff. Another major point, and coming to the losses, technical losses, we're delivering, we're turning into ANEEL. We're going through the tariff revision process. We're giving to ANEEL the measurements of last year, as the regulation prescribes. We're giving them, getting into them all the revision, and they're going to recognize the losses that are measured, the technical losses. And this work of bad debts that we are going through, that we're doing and following the media and renegotiation and so on, is being followed also with a very strong work. Also, you may have seen that in the media, so as to reduce our commercial losses. That is, we every 15 days, we are having events of inspections. Those events are, they take place in places where public exposure is great, some famous buildings in the city, places where there is a lot of, they're very busy with people, and showing that those are symbolic events, showing that the action of CEMIG vis-a-vis commercial losses is being firm and energetic. And this is a very important point. Besides that, the automation issue, the one thing that we have just closed the bidding process to automate a region in Belo Horizonte, a large area in Belo Horizonte, where we're going to have, we have 700 reconnectors, and our idea is to reach 1,300 reconnectors. And this is very important to affect X factor, to improve our quality, to reduce all the liabilities, and to reduce our costs. actually send dispatch teams to for maintenance and these things. And today, we have just had the bidding process closed, and it was successful, and there's a lot of work to be done. We are also talking to a few suppliers in the technology and measurement areas so that we can put into practice what Adazer has mentioned, to start having all of our customers of mid voltage are measured remotely. And the idea is to lower this for the 500,000 greater customers in the Belo Horizonte area, low voltage customers, so that we can also reduce costs and reduce our bad debts and also increase and improve upon our commercial losses. So those are some of the actions that are actually underway. Another important point is that we are approving, and a plan has been presented to me to invest. It's called a PDP 1822. It actually has to do with some of substations, so that our commercial losses, technical losses, that is, can be mitigated. And also, there is another aspect to the distributor that has to do with market service. We went through a period in 2015 in which we had some delayed construction works, and now we have been able to update all of them. We went to ANEEL. ANEEL has already assented to our recovery plan. This plan is underway, and we noticed we had a survey of ABRAGE, in which showed our improvement of our general index of customer perception around 13%. That is, the customer started perceiving our service as better. We left the stage of 70 points to 87 points, and so we are actually on the right track to in our service, in our construction, and building a company which is robust, both from the point of view of its service grid, but also the quality of its service with automation and cost reduction. If, I don't know if you have anything more specific, but still I'm at your service for that. Mauro, there was a question about the as for the this year, our goal was to reach 750 adhesions in the resignation plan. Today we have 790. We went actually over the goal, and this is open until September. It was done following the logic of having additionals of remuneration as you anticipated your adhesion. So adhesion that would occur up until the end of April would have a 5 monthly payments, and until the end of September, when there is no more additionals monthly payments. So when we proved the logic, we used the budget of last year because of our development plan. Our resignation plan was closed in October with the employees having 3 extra salaries, which is the legal minimum. With that, we have been able to get the same budget, the payroll of 2016, following the logic that we used this year. That is, by providing 5 monthly payments, and if the employee anticipates is going out, I would have the same effect as the last year's payroll. So in 2017, we had 578 resignations, and in 2015, 73. So in these 2 years, with these 2 resignation programs, we had a savings of 190 million, actually, in the payroll. I hope I have clarified the matter. Okay? I think we do have one more question. For Cesar, it's from Marcelo Brito from Citi. From what I understood from your answer, when you talked about the 3 plants, you said that the indemnity that you expect from for the three plants would cover the investment in equity at some auction. So I will have 2 questions. What is the monies that you expect to receive. Now, given that the Treasury should pay for those plants after the auction takes place, the auction takes place in September, the remuneration in 2018, how do you bridge? Because you have a very high leverage situation inside the company. Your question actually is the answer that we're looking for, since the batch D, that is when is the government going to close this is going to pay us. There are several methodologies. DNR points at about 1.5 billion. We have other methodologies that are, underway that reach 4 billion, depending on some others. There is a contraction of an independent consultantship from Foundation Getúlio Vargas, which gave us numbers that were much greater than this. But in terms of 3 billion, we don't see the participation of some equity or a limit of this CEMIG equity in the hypothetical participation of this auction to be over this, more above this value of 3 billion reals, because if the grant is 11 billion, which is going to be, this, the government gives us that, we're talking about a capture of project funds around 4 to 5 billion. Let us imagine 5 billion. We're talking about 6 billion equity in our max participation in this consortium. Would be 49%. We're talking about 3 billion. As for the timing between the receipt and effectively the equity coming in, this is a situation which we intend to face by making the government recognize that, actually prior to the auction, so at least our group can participate. And then the issue would be, as we receive that receivable as determined by the government, we can securitize it or put it within the SPE as one more kind of revenue, and this would reduce the equity by allowing greater leverage of the company itself. So these are the loose ends that we're trying to tie in. Of course, if there is a difference between our ability to have the equity and the need of equity of CEMIG within this SPE, the other mechanisms would be to reduce our participation, our interest, and then there would be an option of growing within the partnership. So in terms of, we might eventually go down to 40 or 30 interest, but always being together in this consortium. Just a reminding also that this says I talk about the project finding, but in the next day it's generating EBITDA right away. And there is no project risk. Those are wonderful projects. They're excellent projects and already fully functional. So as for capturing those resources for equity within this SPE under this risk, I don't see much difficulty there. Getting not only, not the totality, but good part from the market, especially if, given our strategy of capturing external debts and trying to find other pockets, as it were, other financing sources. In September, we may have solved this issue, and then we can capture three projects that would generate a bit of the right at the next day. Just one more question here. Viviane from Banco do Brasil. Our question has to do with distribution. 2016, we observed that subcontracting of power would have a very expressive impact upon the distributing companies. How do you see the reflex of this indicator for 2017? I'm going to answer that because part of the commercial directors department, the CIMIG works in an integrated manner, so half of the commercial director works for the distributor, works in terms of market contracting power and use of those mechanisms of I'm going to respond for Paroli. Today we have our forecast, even with the decay of the load, that is said, we some devices of compensation mechanisms of up and down. We have about 105.9 keep in this load of this 2%. So we have an over-contracting of 100, that is, above a regulation of a 0.9. But we still have mechanisms throughout the year, and we also have the issue of PLD, that is, because except for the one that took place now in June. But for the distributor, this liquidation above 105, all of that 100 above 100 is actually left to the shareholders, but the consumer will capture it the next year. But the 0.9 is captured by the shareholder. Now, this 0.9, if you compare the with the purchase price of CIMIG, this is beneficial to the distributor. Besides the request that we are discussing at ANEEL about over-contraction because of migration of customers from the incentivized market, which are not being recognized by ANEEL, and we are, through ABRAGE, trying to request that this be recognized. Now, for this year, we're actually quite assured that we can avoid fines and have a financial gain from this possible over-contracting. That's going to be a presentation. Is that included? Not from AD, but if you can put a forecast in, we have actually managed this very well, this over-contracting, and we are also, for the next 5 years, we are also very well contracted. You still have 2019. We have an over contraction around 7, so we have about 2% running risk there. But we have several other devices of uncontracting, and also we have the possibility of having revenues out of this over contraction. So over contracting, which has a great impact upon distributors. Most distributors, it's not actually most distributors, it's not a problem for CIMIG. We have this up until 2021, and CIMIG does not have this problem because it was prudent. It was actually careful contracting this power and using the mechanisms that are available in order to be able to adjust it's contracting of power. Have I answered your question? Thank you. We have reached now the end of this part of this round table with the directors, and now we're going to have our coffee break, and we're coming back at 4 with the presentations that are in our schedule. Thank you very much.
Well, in this meeting of CIMIG, we have the honor of now announcing the president, the CEO of CIMIG, Mr. Bernardo Afonso Salomão de Alvarenga. Mr. Bernardo honors us with here, and who will speak at the end of this meeting. So to continue, it's important information here. The material that we presented now is being made available on our website at this moment. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to invite the Director of Finances and Relationships with Investors, Mr. Aderzio de Almeida, to talk about restructuring the debt. Good afternoon. So we have a short presentation to talk about what we're doing in restructuring the capital structure of the company. And we can show what has already been done and what we intend to do. So let's start. So the context of increase of debt. So it's good to put this in context so that we can understand how the company actually reached the current status. 8-10 years ago, the company actually had capital and provided credit to the market. First of all, its recent growth in taking part in several companies of relevance to the industry. In 2008 and 2009, the market in Minas Gerais was a market that was well absorbed. CEMIG decided to invest elsewhere to enter new areas, new businesses. And today we are in 23 states of Brazil. And in the Amazon as well, and the state of Amapá and Roraima, from Rondônia to Rio Grande do Sul, the north to south, we have businesses, whether it is in transmission, distribution, or generation of power, and such as in the case of Light in Rio de Janeiro. The adverse conditions of the economic and political situation and the regulating situation as of 2012, with the laws and the reduce of energy and consumption as a result of the economic crisis, really had a major effect. And there was a demand for further capital, for acquiring new assets, such as Renova, for instance. So we have here another factor which also had a major impact in the capital structure of the company, which was a high distribution of dividends in 2011 to 2014. You will see that 2013 and 14 dividends were about 9 billion. And during this period here, 2011 to 14, it's nearly 14 billion in distributed to shareholders. A relevant issue in 2014, nearly 4 billion in dividends. The cash of the company was just 216, the free cash flow 216 million, which was very, very low. It was a distribution of dividends that was way above the operating capacity of the company to generate cash flow, and this then resulted in what we find ourselves today, leveraged as the company is today. Well, expansion of the company, there were several factors there which were quite complex. There were the regulatory and economic context at a time when the company was expanding capacity And from 2015 to 16, this went from 7,800 to 8,200 megawatts, particularly generation of our participation in Santo Antonio. Energy sold declined in 2015, particularly from industry because of the economic crisis. There was a decrease in industrial activity and in and the net revenue of the company also fell. Not only were we selling less power, but the revenue was under the impact, particularly of the quota system in Saint-Simon plant. That was 2016. And then our margins fell, and the EBITDA as well, decreasing. Well, with that, our liquidity and debt, liquidity fell and debt increased. We weren't here in 2013, a debt of 6 billion to 13 billion. The total debt consolidated is 15 billion reais in 2016. And much of this debt, which is more harmful, is short-term debt. So we have debts which mature from June, 4.8 billion, then 2008. So it's nearly 10 billion debts that mature until December 2018. And this doesn't include the debt of Light, 1.6 billion. So it is quite a perverse situation for the company, and to manage this is not an easy solution. What do we have then for the future? First of all, the basic interest rate is decreasing. Yesterday, the central bank reduced this to 10.25%. If we think that October 2016, it was 14, and yesterday it's 10.25. Each percentage point reduces 125 million reais in the service of the debt. These 4 points, this is a decrease in 500 million of interest. There is a possibility of growth happening again, increase in GDP. It's, of course, is very good for us if it does happen in several for several reasons. First of all, industry starts to work again, consumes more energy, and it also reduces default because there's more income available as the economy recovers. So the macroeconomic scenario, at least until recently, was quite benign. I don't know what will happen now, if we will continue this, but at least that's our hope. The main initiatives for restructuring the capital of the company, what are they? First of all, the main initiatives, executing a strategy of divestment. As we've heard here, we are divesting some of our assets, and he mentioned a few of them already. We also, Nora was speaking about the voluntary retirement program, reducing, therefore, 1,500 employees, about 20% of personnel. Cost and expenses initiatives to reduce cost and expenses and improving operating efficiency, that more agility and efficiency to the company, and we heard about this before here. We are issuing Eurobonds as well now from January 2 over to May. We were into the European market and the American market, making a presentation, a roadshow to access Eurobonds, about $1.5 billion. Investors they thought that they had little time to analyze the documentation. We launched the documents on May 1st, and on May 3 we started then to make the meetings with investors. The company hadn't been in this international market for 22 years, so it wasn't really well known in the international market. And we, the analysts know, you know here, that a company that's always present in credit, analysts then find it easier to really understand the company. All they need to do is to update the metrics. But if you're away 22 years out of the market, they have to study the whole thing again to see if the company was at risk of default. So investors ask for a little more time to analyze the numbers and the company. Gas asked for a week, and we were ready then to talk about first quarterly results. So we had the numbers of the first quarter, and what we did was to offer the time to also speak about some of the topics that they asked us about. And these are the topics that we are talking and discussing here with you. We should, at the end of June, or after July, to look at these operations again. Also, partial payment of put option in light with the linked account funds. So the shares were sold of Daiesa, and some of them were connected to this. So we then liquidated 378 rights of these put options. And we also have strategies of liquidating these put options in the next 2-3 months. Or just leave a residual value there. Evolution of debt in 2016. I think it shows an important fact. We did not increase our debt in 2016. We started here in at the end of 2015 with 15 billion debt, and at the end of the year it was 15, and we were able to roll the debt. We took loans and amortized, so it's 5,705,500, which is the capacity of the company to roll its debt, but we did pay 2,300,000,000 of the service of the debt. These 2.3 billion are of the cash flow generated by the company. So if we have the same value that we started in 2016, it's the same value, no increased debt, showing that the company can pay the service of the debt, but not at the speed in which it is structured. The CEMIG GT, generation and transmission, there was an increase because of purchasing Lot D with auction by Anil, 18 plants that we won. These belonged to CEMIG. We bought them again in an auction. It was 2.2 billion. So CEMIG GT then had to issue debt for this and reduce the debt of CEMIG D. So it is in the net is one balances out each other. Now, what are the premises for negotiation, the basis of the negotiation for negotiating the debt with our creditors? First of all, is the company does have liquidity. We wish to preserve the company's liquidity, reduce our refinancing needs in the next few years with grace periods and improvement of amortization profile. So it's extending the debt beyond 2020. Another premise, we do not wish to reduce the the amount or the principal or the interest. We want to pay what we owe. So that is a basic premise of the company. The company will not cause losses to the creditors. Maintaining existing guarantees with banks. So each bank with a guarantee will maintain them. And negotiations are limited to the main commercial banks. A shift of CEMIG's financial flows focused on bilateral and bank syndicated debt. So restructuring the debt, or changing the debt, the profile of the debt, this is just to give you an idea of this. This is the current profile in the top chart, and we intend to transfer it down here. I'd love to be the financial director here in 2022, but I'm still in 2017. So we have this chart. This is a proposition about what we expect or what we would like the debt structure to become if we are successful in this restructuring of the debt. So debts to be maintained, the darker green, debts that will be restructured with the banks, and other debts that will be negotiated with Eurobonds or paid with Eurobonds. The company and the debt there will be a different profile here, as you can see here, from 2017 to 2024, which is when we'd pay the Eurobonds. The company does have the means of doing it this way. We have talked to most of the banks. Our proposition for negotiation was well accepted. 3 years grace period, 5 years to pay. Of course, we know that this is our need. The banks will provide the final answer as we go along to estimate our cash flows to see if this is feasible. You know, so we're still negotiating with the banks whether it will be 2-3 years grace period or 2 or 4 or 6 years to pay the debt. The credit market in Brazil's banks, particularly with highly leveraged companies, what we see is that it's an oligopoly. We have only 5 banks in the market today who are able to offer or negotiate credit. It's Bradesco, Itaú, Banco do Brasil, Caixa, and Santander. The other banks don't have enough to operate like this, to provide credit, or don't have a scale for negotiation. So our credit market is quite an oligopoly. Well, finally, I want to show you the cash flow for the first quarter of 2017. As I said, we did not increase our debt. This, again, is the first quarter. The operating cash flow of the company. We had 995 million in cash at the end of last year. That was 995 million. 343 million profit. The provisions, which has an impact on profit but not on cash. And we also had others. And the cash flow generated by the operations of the company was 528 million. Financing, payment of interests, 517. And this generated for us 192 million in financial revenues, which was enough for the investments that we made in the first quarter. So just the financial revenue was enough to pay our investments. So at the end, this is the result, 848. So this demonstrates the operating capability of the company. It's a profitable company. And so it's healthy financially. What we need is a deadline to pay the debt. Increasing the deadline, we need more time, which is what we have demonstrated to the banks, that the company can pay. It cannot pay immediately, which is why we need to change the deadlines for paying these debts. But throughout the years, this certainly can be done. It is a company that is profitable enough and healthy enough to liquidate the debts, our financial obligations. So that's it. Thank you very much for your presentation, Mr. Adesio. Now we have the divestment program. We want to invite the Business Development Director, Mr. Cesar Vaz de Melo Fernandes.
I'm going to present to you all the divestment program of CEMIG that's already made up and is part of our strategic plan. And in general lines, we're going to show you what are the assets that are going to be selected. And specifically for each one, we're going to elaborate a little bit. First, this problem of divestment is part of a defined strategy by our finance department, defined by the need to unleverage our company. There are 3 points that we have to take into account. First, in recent years, as Adesio has mentioned, there was a great investment in assets made by the company, and which allows us to today also to sell part of those assets and monetize them. This money also has become assets, makes us then able to turn them into resources. The idea is that this program of divestment may our net debt come to an acceptable standard, about 2.5 times the net debt by EBITDA. And another important point is that in the case of CEMIG, because it's a state-owned company and as we participate in investments and consortia as a minor party partner, this brings a certain complexity to the process of sales. As any state-owned company, we have to respect several rules, have to abide by several rules, and in the case of partnerships and societies, all the involvement in negotiation of our partners in this strategy. So we have selected, and that was the purpose, a portfolio of assets that are for sale, considering that we may not be successful in part of them. So a minimum success, we expect 50%. As a whole. So a merger acquisition process is already complex, and we need you deal with this, and you decide to sell an asset does not mean you'll be successful. We're regulated, extremely regulated. We cannot just liquidate assets at any price as a private company, and also we have also the partnership issues. So this criteria, this need to divest made us select and prioritize some assets on the basis of 3 criteria. Those with more liquidity, which will bring in resources at a shorter term, and also select assets whose return is not coming in the short run, assets such as Santo Antonio, whose return is coming in about 3 to 4 to 5 years. So we need resources now. It's not going to affect dividends that would come from those assets. So they would be a priority for selection anyway. And lastly, assets that are not strategic for the company or whose minority participation in interest in the company in those assets brings a certain governance, brings in certain governance problems. So we began this program last year. Some of the assets have already been alienated and aligned as they are underlined. And we've shown you, those to you initially. This divestment program last year, we concluded resuming the sale of TransChile, our asset, our presence in Chile, 188 million reais. We had a follow-on of Taesa, which brought about 800 million through Renova, but also, always under our coordination. We sold for 600 million. This is signed, it is approved by CADE, and depending upon the assent on the by the banks. Terraform Global, the Sanetsu, also, which went bankrupt in the States, was sold that to the Brookfield. We sold this asset to Brookfield, and those shares are also being monetized. 352 million reais, which will be received by Renova, and we have a proportional interest in this group. And we also sold Ativa's data center, which is a data center that we had here in Belo. Very good enterprise, which was not our core competence, in a partnership with the Brazil, with Minas Gerais business people. And and prior to moving on to the program proper, let's look at the assets that CEMIG owns and it has an interest in. We have Light, RME, and we have 53.38% of the capital. CEMIG-T, 100%. Taesa, 31.54%. And Gasmig with 99.57%. Other assets of a lesser importance, but still relevant. Transmineira, which are transmission lines, we have 24.5%. Centro-Oeste with 51% in a partnership with Furnas. Three of our sales companies that they have no sales value. CEMIG Telecom, we control 99.99%. Some subsidiaries of generation, all with 100% efficiency and action. Those are IT companies and the other one, the power efficiency. I forgot to comment. Another difficult issue that we have has to do with the constitution of the state of Minas Gerais, which imposes some obstacles that are practically insurmountable. Some assets that we have in gas and generation distribution, more than 50% of the capital, that is, that we control those assets in order to be sold, they would have to be submitted to a plebiscite in the state of Minas Gerais, which is practically impossible to carry out. So also, as a subsidiary controlled by GT, we have Aliança, then BASD, and Renova, Santo Antônio, Amazônia, and North Alliance, Aliança Norte, the connection with Light and Vale. These two vehicles are vehicles of interest in Belo Monte. Taguari Energy, together with Anel Energy, Retiro Baixo, together with Furnas, Cachoeirão and Pipoca, together with with business people. The wind farms in Ceará with IPSA, we're closing this partnership there. IPS went into filed for bankruptcy in Brazil. and we went through an arbitrage process, and those wind farms are going to be part of our portfolio. Going on is four small hydro plants being under construction, and an auction that we won together with Light, which has not been announced yet. I'm going to talk about it in a while. Because of this portfolio, the selection criteria that I mentioned and the difficulties that we have in this purpose of ours to be successful in at least 50% of the assets placed on the market, we selected and we are already quite advanced in negotiations. This portfolio of interests that effectively we intend to divest. Always mentioning that it is prudent to consider that we're not going to be successful in 100% of the cases. The total capital is 6.562 billion reals. We're talking about having in the end of 2018 at 17, that is first semester of, maybe we have made a money in the amount of 3.5 maybe billion. For each one of them, there is an explanation. Taesa, those are shares outside of the control block, part of them as a guarantee for Light, but effectively we're going to monetize that now. We're going to leave it for scroll, and we'll be free to liquidate the put of Light, which those shares were given in as a collateral. The Transmineira, those are those three transmission lines that we have 24.5% of. We're selling those assets, and we are already in the end of the contract phase. Taesa, coming back to that, is a very quick sale, actually. In a few weeks, we're going to have those resources freed. With Adesi and our team, we've been working on it with the agreement of the board. Santo Antonio is an important asset. We have an interest, a direct interest of 18%, but this will bring a return only 2021 or 22. So together with the other partners who make up the private block of the company, we went through a process of sale. We received a proposal. It's a binding proposal, and we are now discussing the final conditions of such a sale. The expectation is to bring to our cash an amount close to 1 billion or 1.3 billion reals. Hanover, as I said, we sold Terrafal, and we received propositions for the sale of other assets. Renova, Aspra, Brazil PCH, and so structured processes with bidding process and everything. We have some difficulty selling those, basically because of price. But we should receive this week a proposal for a primary offer of the strategic partner, who would go into Renova, and the remainder of the debt is not actually expressive, and then the company would be in a definitive manner resolved vis-a-vis the need of capital for new enterprises. So Renova, I would say, was a great problem. It took a lot of time from us throughout last year, a very stressed cash flow, because it was the only enterprise that CEMIG was caught in the middle of the crisis, actually, with a need for capital. And our partners were not able to follow this need. It is the construction of High Alto Sertão 3, and we now are negotiating with the financing banks and long-term finance, and especially BNDES and other banks, a definitive solution for the financial structure of Alto Sertão 3. And we actually hope that this approved by the board of the company that is going to make this acquisition. This is going to be a closed deal, and we're going to be a success for the future of Renova. The present is already solved with the share, with the actions that we have taken. Now, the fifth most expressive assets that we're going to realize is light energy. Light energy, the symbol is smaller there, but they have a light in SA, has two assets, main assets, which is the distributor and the energy. One way to capitalize light and come up with dividends and help with liquidation of the put and the sale of light energy. This project is already structured. Everything is SPA is already discussed. It is a decision that today will have only to go through internal negotiations with the partners, and basically it's a done-in thing. Cachoeirão, Pipoca, and Paracambi are part of this sales portfolio. Those are minority interests that we have in three plants. So there is no obstacle by the Minas Gerais legislation, so you can sell them directly. And the idea is to do that within the same project of the light energy sales. Gasmig and CIMIG Telecom are special cases. Those are subsidiaries that we have a control of. CIMIG Telecom does not have any obstacle, any stumbling block from the legislation here. So the Telecom, we intend to sell 100% of its capital of equity. There's 193 million of its equity. We intend to actually make much more than that. The process, we are already afield, and we have to make this, to follow this process within the laws that define, which means there has to be a public announcement of sales, and everything is being prepared, and we aim to be able to sell CIMIG Telecom by the end of the year. Now, Gasmig is a special process because that is under the Minas Gerais legislation, so we couldn't sell the control of it. But there the shares are divided into one-third as ON and two-thirds PN. We can sell up to 83% of the equity, and this is already a field that has to be a public one with an auction and a bidding process and everything, and following every single process. Everything is advanced. All the consultants are already hired, and this is coming in parallel with the two edicts. Gasmig should bring in about 1.2 billion. North and Energy and our interest in Belo Monte. Strategically, we are solving the main problems of Belo Monte before we put it up for sale. We're having a lot of success in the last negotiations involving especially the matter of uncontracted energy, which was part of Eletrobras' responsibility. But at any rate, we're following a process of selection of the advisors and hiring those aides of those advisors. And it's going to be advanced by the group of partners, including CIMIG, which intends to make the sale. Another small thing which would alleviate the problem was the consortia in the San Francisco Basin. We're divesting, but they're not very expressive. In order to close other actions to relieve our cash, effectively are not related to sales, but Guanyas, four PCHs that are under construction. We have tried to find some investor in order to finish this construction. There are many assets on sale in Brazil, and for you to sell something under construction is not easy. So the best possible strategy was for us to finish the work and then sell it. And Itaucana, Dalcada is a hydroelectric plant on the border of Rio de Janeiro and Minas. We won this concession in an auction 2015 together with Light. We had a lot of trouble structuring the finance part of it, and now this enterprise has lost of its profitability, so we're negotiating with ANEEL. Yesterday, the president of the company visited ANEEL, and our line of uncontracting with the distributors or the replacement of these of this PPA of Itecara being transferred to another enterprise of the group and to give in and turn in the concession. In the case of the Ceará wind farms, I've already mentioned, and we are now negotiating the divestment of assets with the Furnas in Retirobaixo and CFA West. Retirobaixo, we have 49, and Furnas has 51, the best thing to do then. And the opposite in Centro-Oeste, so we're sort of switching and still having expressive interest in Maguari, which is an SPE. It's a private SPE, and so we can give away our Maguari interest. Other two assets, the PCH, and that's we have propositions for sale also. We're considering now together with our partners in Inova. And this is it. I think that it was okay possible to give you a good idea of the program. We're at your service for your specific questions. So, Cesar, thank you very much for your presentation. We now will have a Q&A session. Whoever wants to participate, just address the questions to directors here at CEMIG. The ushers have the microphone, and they can actually address your questions either to Adesio or Cesar. This is Vinicius Canhão from British, the Swiss. Your detail is quite well detailed, but I would like to have an idea of as things changed, the sense of urgency of the company in the last two annual events of CEMIG. Also, the story was the focus on divestment and readjusting the debt, and then you paid very high interest rates. Now, interest rates are falling down, declining, and knowing about the partnership issues and the regulation issues of effective operations for CEMIG, it was actually Transchile and Taesa. For the other ones, there is no effective money, cash. So, given the debt scenario, which is growing, but it's still quite high in all of these issues, what is your sense of urgency vis-a-vis those divestments versus what happened last year? So we know the board of directors changed twice, maybe practically, but the new team now, how does that compare to the last 2 years? So, well, thank you for the questions, the very pertinent ones. As for the sense of urgency, it has always been there.
Well, that was clear that we have to divest some part of the company. It's even clearer for the current directors because the time is ticking. The clock is ticking. There is a difficulty, very specific difficulty in the case of state-owned companies to divest. If you do this in any wrong way, the sale might be cancelled or which, of course, causes problems for the future. We have seen this, such as, for example, in the case of Petrobras. It has been questioned. Its divestment program has been questioned several times. It really is very difficult. So what has happened, in fact, is that we had a period of to mature, which is, and we are now ready to gather the fruit. So selling an asset such as Santo Antonio is complex. It's not a simple decision of CEMIG that sells it and that's it. It's not like that. If the purchasers do not have adequate control blocks, if someone doesn't want to sell, it won't sell. So in the specific case, for instance, of Santo Antonio, an asset that we want to sell, there was also the problem of one of the partners that was in a hurry to sell, a lot of pressure to sell. This, in fact, meant that we had lost strength in our negotiations, in a sense. But the good news is that for all of these assets, things did have moved forward quite significantly. We're not standing still. So I'd say that there's no doubt, and Adesu can add to this and support this, there's no doubt about in CEMIG about selling these assets. Now, with propositions that are now quite mature, renegotiated, and so on. So, for instance, Alto Sertão 2 is selling it to AESI. That was a success story. It was successful, organized by CEMIG. A lot of conversations, and it was a complex sale, and with other partners involved in this. And M&A, any M&A, it's months of negotiation. At least 6 months, 8 months to organize something like this. And sometimes even more, 9 months, a year in the complexity within CEMIG. Good afternoon. Pedro Cava from Paulus Capital. I'm wondering about light. Maybe light would make an offer. There was no quorum. And so the trend is for CEMIG to remain in energy now. Well, then you also have the matter of societies, of the partnerships in making decisions. A decision today for us in development is selling specifically light energy. So, and this project of selling light energy is also in quite an advanced phase now, a process that's well structured. Maybe Adesu can say more about this. This sale of light energy, which is generation of light, that will be sold to Aliança. And it's simpler than doing an M&A or any other such like operation, because in this case, Vale, which is our partner in Aliança, is interested in this asset. On the other hand, Vale has assets for generation that are not in Aliança, that would be sold as well to Aliança. So I think that this, after that initial block of Taesa, which would, might be easier to monetize, the second easiest to monetize is sale of generation of light energy, which is much more important to CEMIG than the rest of light, the follow-on of light. Light was much more results. Oh, another question about the criteria. Liquidity is the main criteria, or not necessarily in that order? Like César said, it looked like it was an order of priority, but it wasn't. You have to open several fronts in selling an asset so that you can be successful in at least some of them. Since our sense of urgency is quite high because of the need of reducing the debt. It's not only restructuring the debt, it's also reducing the debt because the financial costs compromise the operating capacity of the company. So, as I said earlier on, we want to have the cash flow, the cash generation of the company to be enough and important for CEMIG to invest in its own business. We want to go back to investing in generating power, transmission and distribution of power, preferably in the state of Minas Gerais. That's our strategy. We're selling assets to reduce debt, to generate free cash flow so that we can invest in our assets in this particular state. And maybe if there are investments in transmission and generation in Minas Gerais, so that we can participate in that. So to adding to this, Taesa is a strategic asset for CEMIG with significant returns, but the price is very good and it's liquid. Its liquidity is high. So the selection criteria in this case were these points. It was easy. Liquidity was easy. It was easy to put these shares in the market in the short term and bring in cash. And this is what we are doing. We think that Taesa would be a great investment with good returns. But as I said, it will bring significant amounts at a price that we think that's unbeatable in the future. So putting these shares for sale, like Sara says, it's a very profitable company. We have no passion for the investments in this sense. Our passion is for CEMIG itself, generation, transmission, and distribution. That's where everything started, and that's where we want to continue. So it's selling a good asset. It's a block of Taesa, which is out of the control block. It's an important and profitable asset, but we need it to sell it so that we can generate cash. So once again, we are firm in this decision of selling assets. My name is Vinicius. Again, just to make clear that the offer action of shares of Lights that even made a communication to the market, that's out of the radar right now, is it? It's not out of the radar. First of all, we will sell generation. Then we might do the follow-on or not. We might do the follow-on of primary and secondary follow-on. But as it's easier to sell generation, and Vinicius, then after that, it's just distribution of Light. Today, when you look at Light, you see generation, distribution. So, if we're not involved in generation, it's just distribution. And then maybe this asset might even improve. It becomes more visible. Maybe it could, the follow-on is, it might happen. But in the short term, the main goal is to sell generation. We'll think about the rest afterwards, if necessary, for the follow-on. And generation includes not only the assets of Light generation, but Alcara, Guanhães. Alcara says, saying that we are returning it, negotiating the return of it. Paracambi, Belamonte is another process. And with that, we'll have three assets of CEMIG, about 130 million reais. In the same bundle. It's CEMIG as a minor participant in small scale plants. In Taesa, it's just the shares not connected to the control block. Yes. We're also negotiating with a future partner of Taesa, which is Isa, is to have other shares from the block without losing control, which will also increase the volume. But that depends on negotiations with partners that will not be done right now. About the other shares, maybe this does not depend on partners. Yeah, there was the issue of the put as well. Again, thanks very much. Our acknowledgements to Cesar and Adesio. An announcement for those of you who are watching us online. To access the presentations, you need to press F5. press F5. So if you're watching online, to access the PowerPoints, you need to press F5. Okay, so with that, ladies and gentlemen, to present the balance of CEMIG GT, we'd like to invite the superintendent of Mr. Max Vinicius Castro Lobato. So please. This presentation is the supply and demand balance, CEMIG GT, generation and transmission, and the grid. So good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here and for participating in our meeting. So this presentation is an update of the supply and demand balance, purchasing and selling power of CEMIG GT, and to contextualize this with the system of the interconnected system. And I'll make a comment about the situation of CEMIG D as well. Can someone help me with this PowerPoint? Well, here, just to recap what was presented last year, to serve as a reference, the Brazilian National Grid forecasts for 2016 to 2020. So last year, that was the forecast of consumption in the interconnected national grid, and with the resources that we have from several sources, hydraulic power, thermal power, reserve energy, wind power, solar, and this is the balance of these resources and the excess that was already there because of the economic retraction, the crisis. The scenario that we see today is very similar, just minor connections. But basically, there is significant excess power in this balance without taking into account the reserve energy. Reserve energy, reserve power is also there, but this is just the power that's being sold. If I may make a small correction, looking at the physical guarantee of hydraulic plants, let me just compare this. There is an effect, a reduction of 1,300 megawatts for available reserve, but there's still, there is excess capacity, so something like 18%, 17%, and 13% in 2018-19, dropping to 8% in 2021. So looking at this context, there's an interesting reflection to be made here about CEMIG distribution and other distributors of power, this reduction in the market, the crisis and so on, We had contracts already made for the futures with other companies for these forecasts of the market that do not materialize as expected. But still, there were possibilities of managing this using mechanisms that we have available, bilateral agreements and several other measures. And so we ended 2016 within the range. The average of distributors was above 105%. In CEMIG, it was 103%. For 2017, it's 5.9%. But there is a possibility of reducing this still further and to put it within the range, depending on our assessments. And for the ensuing years, even if distributors do have 110% or so, still for 2018, we are within the range of 105% 2018, a little higher, 7 point something in 19, and this drops gradually and normalizes in the beginning of the next decade. So for CEMIG-D, although there was this problem of excessive hiring, we are in a situation of moving closer to the 105% limit. Looking at CEMIG-GT and think about this mission, and we were talking about keeping the market and the position that we have in the last few years, since we haven't really solved a lot of the issues of plants, this becomes interesting because it puts us on the other tip of purchases in a market with excess offer, so that we can buy as needed. So what about the supply and demand balance at CEMIG generation and transmission? This is the same chart of 2016 to see what happened since then. So let's describe a little bit. So down here we have sales done in the regulated environment. These are intermediations in our market, which is met by trading companies, and the requirements in CEMIG-GT. So in green, the major volumes sold in the free market. Here, this is what's available for short-term selling or selling in the next years for liquidating in the next year. We think in the next few years, as we indicated last year, the situation of the balance that suggested a deficit in 2018 and 19, a little excess in 2017, but this changed. And for protection against risk, and the other one over there for liquidation in 2016. The black line are our resources. For there was a drop here because of the end of the concessions, and we're not taking into account here the power of these plants and the possibility of recovering them. So this is the situation without renewing the concessions of these plants. And all of this market here happens with purchasing power from third parties. Just to give you another interesting point, it's these boxes here in red, the possibilities of renewal of our contracts with our markets in the free market, with our clients in the free market. We had a large portfolio and a history of renewing our contracts with our customers. Since then, what has changed? We find that for 2017, our excess increased significantly. It was like this. Today it's like this. This is the view we have of 2017. A lot of this has already been liquidated in the first quarter and the second quarter as well, as we heard in that picture on seasonality, but still we have further resources to meet the needs of GSF in the second semester with excess. For the next few years, we see that the deficit that we had in 2018, most of it has been solved. There's a little bit here to be dealt with, part of the renewal. Most of it is already concluded. These are contracted volumes. We extend these contracts with our customers, and now we see at the end of these concessions in Embarcação Nova Fonte, at the end of the next decade. This is just an update of the chart to see a little better what happens and to model better what happens with CEMIG GT. This part here, these are intermediations. But this resource is not in CEMIG GT. It's the volume of the market that's managed by our trading companies. It's a market of CEMIG. These are customers that CEMIG accesses, but this is not in CEMIG GT as buying and selling. So we're removing this from the GT balance, but at the same time, we're putting back this energy of the Lot D plants, which consolidate these things, and the part of free market that's available for selling, which is in this line, is already included here. So the customers of CEMIG whose contracts are part of this balance. And down here, this is the part of the energy that's delivered in the regulated markets to the CR. Well, with that, this is our market. We have the possibility of maintaining it as we renew these volumes in the next few years. And there's a table of supply and demand of balance to make it easier to understand. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Marcos Vinicius. Thank you for your presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, to the financial forecasts, we'd like to invite the manager, Eduardo Henrique Campolina Franco. Well, good afternoon, everyone. So, good afternoon. First of all, I want to thank you for the invitation to speak about the guidance for the capital markets, to thank the executive directors for this opportunity, and to speak here in this mission to present the guidance to you, ladies and gentlemen, and for those who have waited till now. So this is the guidance for the next 5 years, our view, our forecast from 2017 to 2021. The disclaimers, the main premises, these are the main premises that we have. The guidance, traditionally, it is an inertial forecast, so it does not take into account changes that may occur in the changes in the future of the portfolio, both in the initial scenario and in further scenarios. We use as the premise recovering the market value and a quest to ensure the company's sustainability. In this sense, then, the company intends to reduce debt, to increase productivity, and review its portfolio of equity interests, focusing on the core business and prioritizing companies in which it holds control. And so we keep this because this is the philosophy of the company. This slide also is quite similar to what you saw last year, but in this case it has a slightly different goal of accounts and an evolution of what we showed you last year and the status of, about how things are going on this year. So the PLR, which was it was adapting, so it is aligned with the practices of the market as we see it. Last year, we wanted to implement a voluntary retirement plan, and now we have this. So Mr. Maura here showed this. This was approximately 1,500 people adhering to this, about 20% of the labor force then got involved in this program. Other initiatives for reducing also default, we also heard about this very well at the beginning. These are initiatives of a new, again, it's a different philosophy of human capital and so on, and optimizing several channels, negotiating debt, a review of the commercial cycle, productivity fronts, which is quite intensified. We see here that the management is deeply involved in this, reducing default as well as a focus. And Dr. Parolli also mentioned this very well at the beginning. Strategic management of supply, this is another initiative. A sales strategy or trading strategy to maximize profits. Again, this was well described before her, and Mark Sviniso also added to this. It is an ongoing strategy of the company, and proactivity in managing debt, which was the presentation of Mr. Adesio, my director, and restructuring the debt and seeking opportunities of having lower or less expensive debt, and proactivity in acting to reduce debt as an important initiative for CEMIG to face these challenges. And we will overcome all of them. So these initiatives are all included in the guidance that we're presenting to you right now. Well, we start here on distribution, and we have a little of the regulatory assumptions here. This guidance, we include the annual readjustment of 2017. As you may have seen, the average rate was negative, -10.66, and it goes from May 28 to May 27, 2018, the average adjustment. So it's reduction in the costs of specific of expenses in this area, and increased transportation costs. The 2018 tariff review incorporates value in portion B and recovery of the distributor's margins. So it's payment of special obligations, which don't have today. We would imagine that about 160 million a year might be the case in paying special obligations. A new formula for calculating the annual components, increasing coverage for infrastructure in distribution, and less lag between the expenses of portion A and coverage. So we think that with that, we will have a few or less fluctuation, and it will be more under control. And a lot of discussions as well that we've seen among directors of more adjustment of the cost and the tariff cost in a cycle, fitting in distribution to what is regulatory. This is one of the guidelines of the company, and we're all working on that. Well, a little about revenue in distribution. This is what we see at the top there, and the variation each year. The market grows about 2.2% a year in this horizon from 2017 to 2021. And here we have it's separated by supply and transportation. The variation of the market, the supply is the darker line. The clear line is transport, and the green line is the average growth year by year. So we see a strong migration from captive to free, 16 to 17, which is this higher variation. After all of that, it normalizes, and there's less variation. Just a little information about the fiscal and the OPEX. So we see productivity reflected here, and the path that the company has taken. This is the metric that we bring. It's OPEX by customers. This is constant values of June 17. Down here, the evolution of the physical realized values and forecasted values, organic growth. So, in 2015, 347 reais of OPEX per customer. 2016, this number increased quite considerably because particularly of economic issues, commercial losses, trading losses, and so on, a little far from the usual path. 2017, we expect this to be in the range of 334 because of the initiatives that we have proposed in the company. The OPEX per customer then will return to normal levels. In 2018 to 21, we see that this drops still further, reflecting how distribution is adapted to the regulations. So that's the forecast for OPEX for our customers in this period, 2017 to 21. This is a little more detailed information on that, which concerns the PCLD, which is the level of default in distribution in this period. So in 2015, this is 2015, which is considered a more typical year, at values in 2017 204 million, and this year 2016 realized was nearly 400 million PCLD.
By 2017, we figured it would be a number falling down to 190 million, and this decline trajectory is going to be in 3 years, and then it will probably stagnate and will be around the level of the same level until 2021. And we've been working very diligently about that. And 2016, just for you to compare, we closed the last quarter with 103 million, and this year now, the first quarter, this number fell down to 66 million, so we can identify a response in a PCLD in this decline of 33% of the last quarter and the first quarter this year. Our investment plan for the distributor in 5 years, those are investments that we believe are in line with the regulations and also in line with the company's purposes to reduce costs and improve operational efficiency and other goals that have been talked about here throughout the day. The difference is that this year we had this annual open investment for you to know about, and the level of opening of the electric system, the infrastructure projects, and other especially regulation annuities, resources from customers. So those are the investments in distribution around 1 billion 200 per year, closing the period of 5 years with approximately 6 billion reals forecast for CMIG-D. And now we have the range of EBITDA forecast for distribution in this year and the following year, 2018. This range is in the lower limit there, 1.2 billion, and the upper level close to 1.427, or give or take. And we imagine that this lower limit of EBITDA is going to be close to 1.486, and the upper limit 1.734. So these are the EBITDA that we believe. Just remembering that 2016 EBITDA was quite atypical in spite of its having happened. In fact, economic issues led PCLD and commercial losses to levels above what's normally obtained by the company. And also regulation issues around 800 million of constitution, but plus 600 realized proper. So if we recompose this EBITDA, we see that it was quite out of normality, the kind of normality that we have normally for CMIG-D. That can be illustrated. So the covenants, the indicator of net debt over EBITDA, and you have that reflects the increase of productivity and the reduction of cost of the distributor. as well as a better condition in the regulations for the next regulation cycle. So 2016, which was a year that we said was very atypical, the distributor performed with an EBITDA, which is normally one-third of that which we normally have, and this indicator is almost 13 times. By 2017, we already imagined that this results will fall down to below 5, and this trajectory of fall closing 2021 with the net debt over the EBITDA less than 3. Moving on to CEMIG generation transmission, the main premises that we took into account for the forecast of GT in this guidance and maintenance of the existing free market, the plants of Jaguara, São Simão, Miranda, and Volta Grande in a regime of quotas up until the end of this year, without indemnity of the plants above, without indemnity and for the 14 plants also of the D batch, and you can see this is the revenues component of GT the kilowatt hour up until 2021, and here we follow the trajectory of a main price, constant value, and GSF up until 2021. This presentation is going to be made available to you, so you can interpret that and read as you at your leisure. Now, as in CEMIG-D, we opened the annual investment program differently from what we've been doing before. Before we did the global value. Now, the CAPEX shows the maintenance of the existing park and investments, reinforcements, improvements. Now, in generation, what we have is investments in operation and maintenance of the existing facilities. In 2018 and 19, we have a forecast of some investments and enlargement of PCHs, small hydroelectric plants, and here you have the affordance of which is approved for CEMIG-GT, and the CAPEX of transmission here, and the reinforcement and improvement, and we see here also the sum total for 5 years and approximately 2 billion reals, which is the forecast investment for GT in the 5 years. And here, the EBITDA ranges that were proposed for 2017 and 2018 for CEMIG-GT. This year, we forecast a lower limit of 1.951 and an upper limit of EBITDA around 2.27 billion. And next year, the idea is the floor, actually 2.15, and the ceiling 2.3351. So this is the EBITDA range. They're narrow ranges, as you can see, and we had the purpose of doing it as narrow as we could. As in D, also we brought the covenant of net debt over the EBITDA, even in the initial scenario. It tends to smaller levels, reaching the statute limit up until 2020, which is 2.5. In 2015, it was 2.3, which is a situation we're not comparing with now, because 2016, it closed at 5.6. But if we purge the effect of Renova, which was 960 million, this indicator would result in 3.3. Very close then to the, if we consider for the guidance for this year, that is, which is a net debt over EBITDA of 3.16. And you have the indicator here up until 2021, remembering that we have an indemnity here of the transmission, which has a positive impact of around 400 million reals per year, already accounted for. But we're talking about a cash effect, so it has an impact upon the net debt. Going back now, improvement also. Improvements of asset equivalence, which as I mentioned before, companies that begin now to respond, they are pre-operational, they were pre-operational and now they go into generation, they start generating cash. And that indicator improves, consequently. Now, the CIMIC holding investments, basically 50 million here, which is what was the forecast for issues related to telecommunications involving probes, and you have the 50 million to liquidate up until October this year. Others are holding investments quite low, as you can see. So this is the proposition or investments for CIMIC holding in the 5 years, only 2017 as a forecast. Now we're moving on to the last part of the presentation. So here is the forecast of the EBITDA for the next 5 years, the lower limits and lower and upper limits, 2017 minimum EBITDA is 4,042,000,000 and top 4,490,000,000. And here is the trajectory of these EBITDA ranges throughout the next 5 years. As in the previous businesses, we brought also the net debt over EBITDA, and we closed in 2016 with 4.19, purging the Renova non-recurring effect. This indicator would be a lower value of around 3.5. And we imagine for 2017 an indicator lower than 3.5. When the falling in here, closing up to 2021, it would be below two times. In the chart on the side here, I don't know if you can see, we just included the participation of CIMIC-D, CIMIC-D, and GT in the last 5 years to see the part of participation of each business in the EBITDA of the company. This is the last slide, so I'll be glad to answer any questions. Eduardo, thank you for your presentation. We would like to invite Jordano Matos, the tariff manager, with a round of applause for him. Ladies and gentlemen, we now open the floor for questions and answers. In order to address the questions to the speakers, just ask for a microphone from the ushers that are here in the auditorium. So feel free to ask your questions. Oh, there is one question there. Good afternoon. I'm from Banco Safra. I have two questions. First one has to do with your dividend policy. We know that it has always been very aggressive, seeming especially in previous years. And with those assets for sale, I don't know if you can answer that. Which ones are, underlying, because some of them are already as collateral for loans, so which ones are? Thank you very much. As for dividends, the dividends will be kept at a level, a lower level, our bylaws determine a payout of 50% of profits, but this payout normally has been reduced recently because of the financial situation of the company. I would say that as a company, not to go back to the leverage banks, limited 2.5 times of the net debt over EBITDA, our policy is going to be to pay the dividends lower, below the 50%, I'd say close to the legal minimum, which is 25%. Is that it, Dr. Adesu? Around 25, right. The assets that are collaterals, now, CIMIC has, as said, assets for collateral. The ones that we have today are Taesa, the Taesa shares, some of the Taesa shares is given as collateral for Fusilite, and Light shares also. Is there, do I forget any? Batch and Gasmig shares were given as collateral or for debentures that issued in December 2016, as well as the half of the revenue of CIMIC GT, SPS. Those are the real collaterals that are part of a CIMIC GT debt profile. Real guarantee are receivables of old contracts, nothing new. Thank you, Dr. Paulo. One more question from the audience. Hugo Mendez is from Goldman Sachs. One question is, what is the percentage that you have at the Light SA? Practically, can you increase from 43 to 52%? I'd like to know what is the percentage of your numbers that you're increasing, the 43 or 52? That's the present 44%. With all the asset equivalents, all the figures, yes. Well, thank you very much, Antonio Carlos, Marcos Vinicius, and Eduardo, for their participation, and I would invite you to return to your seats. Thank you. Also, thank you, Jordano, for your participation in the last debate. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to kindly do not forget to turn in your evaluation form to our ushers. Receptionist will be there waiting for you after we close. This evaluation is very important so that we can improve upon our next meetings. Once again, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we now give the floor to Bernardo Afonso Salomão de Alvarenga, the CEO of CIMIG, who, on behalf of the Board of Directors, will close this event. Good evening. So it's after 6 p.m., and the idea is to close as quickly as we can, so I'm not going to take up your time. But first of all, I'd like to say that we are very glad to be able to come back and participate in this event. I have already participated in this event for many years in my when I was working at CBIG. I worked here for 31 years, and after 6 years, I'm on the way back here. I'm back. I'm a director of a commercial area, and I had the pleasure to work with you in these events and showing that the good old days, that is, that we began with the free market and we began with large contracts and large revenues, and the company was in a very different situation than it is today. But you may have noticed, I heard all the presentations, but before we talk about the presentations, I'd like to emphasize that, and I talked about my return to CIMIG, I'd like to say that our board of directors today are made up by 9 people, and out of these 9, 6 are from CIMIG. 3 of directors only are actually were not originally from the house here, but they have constantly showed their love and their adhesion to the company, their interest and their willingness to work hard for this company to help solve our issues. About the presentations, in fact, my participation here, I saw was everything was quite well covered. The last presentations that I saw were very well covered, very clear, everything open. Everything was set forth in a very nice manner, as our governor has been saying, the government of the state and the board of directors of CIMIG have worked in a very serene manner. The problems are serious and they're big, but it's pointless to be scared. So sometimes I'm surprised with myself, with the kind of serenity that we have had to face the issues here that we face, because it's pointless to panic and not do anything abruptly without careful, deep analysis. But this does not mean that because of that we're going to be slow. On the contrary, we're not going to be slow. This does not mean that we're going to serve the needs of the company at the right time. So you may count on that in this word of trust I would like to convey to you, because we are actually imbued, strongly imbued with the solution of this, for these issues. So as you saw in the presentations, CIMIG distribution, for example, with a complicated situation vis-a-vis its expenses, having to do with what was forecast by regulating agencies, but we've been working to solve this, and a kind of investment of almost 6 billion, that is, that was shown here in the next 5 years, in order to rescue, really, the kind of service that the CIMIG has always had in this state, has always offered in this state, and to have that power as we, the best power in Brazil. So distribution through Paroli and all Arias, Lins, and Mauro, all of the directors at DES are really united, working to bring the distributor to the regulated situation. Also, transmission, strong investment in transmission in order to be able to carry out the maintenance and the necessary enlargement of what I'm talking about, CIMIG-D and GT as well. And within generation is our greatest problem, the most serious problem, which is having our 4 plants back. There are 4 that we want back. São Simão, Miranda, Jaguara, and Walter Gretsch, the four. You, ladies and gentlemen, may be certain that our work is going to be very strong. We're going to work. We're really fighting very strongly, whether legally, politically. We have been working with every politician from Minas Gerais, communication as well. And in the next few days, you're going to see actions, important actions from us along these lines in order to try and have those plants back. We understand that it is a very serious situation of breaking contracts, of a perfect juridical act that is being broken. So there was this breach. We had the rights to renew it for 20 years according to the clause that was part of the contract. The contract was signed in 1997 when our strategic partner bought 33% of CEMIG, and this clause was negotiated. Otherwise, the partner would not have bought it. So it is a very bad sign that the country is giving off to investors not only from Brazil but also foreign ones of this breach of contract. And I have said in every forum, in every area, I've asked everyone to help us. And I ask you too here, if somebody has some idea, different idea, some shareholder who actually is being damaged by it because of this this contract breach that was totally unilateral. We've been disputing this for 5 years. There was this litigation that has lasted the fateful 579, the presidential order. And we count on everyone that can help us, please, to help us. It doesn't mean that we're not working. To promise this, I cannot promise anything, but what I can promise is that we're going to fight, and we have many allies, and we are really hopeful that those plants are going to be given back over to us. So we have many ideas and many proposals that we're going to present to the federal government, and we are working on associations with several investors. I don't say there is several, but we are having associations with investors that can participate with us in any auctions, whether the government, whether solutions that we're trying to find. So, well, I talked about CEMIG-D, GT-G, and now as for the companies that are actually part of our holding, we are also working very hard to manage those companies, working serenely again in a very quiet manner, but trying to analyze problems one by one and working towards a solution. That is, we're not going to solve it overnight. We've been here for 5 months only. And in these 5 months, we have already done a lot. It's a very cohesive group of management group here. And I can tell you that all have this very strong commitment to the company. And my position is one of trust, that we trust that we're going to come out of this victoriously. You see, the presentation says I showed all the lines that we've been working along, and Adesio's presentation also showing part of the debt and the reprofiling of the debt. So I prefer, instead of read a speech, to talk to you. This is a conversation forum. And we are at your service here in order to be able to close it. So if you're willing to ask me questions, I can. Well, thank you very much. Thank you all for your participation here. We're very happy to have you here, and we know that this event actually, there was suggestions of, I know the annual meeting, yes. Well, folks, do we have any questions? I'll be glad to answer any questions. I saw the presentation was very clear, very good, and everything was quite open and transparent. Okay. Well, if we have no questions, I would like to thank you once again, congratulate Melis Velez and his team, Eloisa Haddad. A round of applause for Eloisa. For the very excellent organization. Thank you very much. Also, would like to all of you who have been here with us during this afternoon and say that you can count on Cemig. We're here to serve you. Thank you very much. So, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Cemig, thanks you for your presence on this 22nd annual meeting of CEMIG with the capital market. And we invite you for the cocktail that is going to be served at the Nehemiah Room. We wish you all a very excellent evening. Thank you very much.